we'll be looking at this morning. After a couple week hiatus, we're resuming our series on the great I Am of Jesus Christ, where Jesus, being God, come in the flesh, explains Himself to us in simple terms that we could understand, that it is something that we understand by these statements, all these different ones that He has said, that He's declaring Himself to be God. We recognize that for Him to say such things as a man is complete, is to be on the border of insanity, to be essentially to be blaspheming the name of God unless they are absolutely true. And we realize that He is the truth, that what He says can be absolutely trusted. And just as He said unto them when they asked Him, "Art thou yet not 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And so we want to look this morning in John chapter 10. There's two different descriptions of Himself, explanations of Himself that He gives. We're just going to look at one of them this morning. And we see that He was trying to explain Himself. Verse 6 of John chapter 10 says, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which He spake unto them." And so now He's going to explain Himself further. He says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You once again for Your great salvation. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for this testimony of Your Son. Lord, we realize that for us to comprehend the infinite, Lord, there's so many different facets, Lord, that are seemingly beyond our understanding. We just pray You would open up our understanding of Your Son, help us to appreciate Him all the more, and we pray, Lord, that we might be able to lead others to Him as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we see the Lord is speaking to them. He's trying to explain things to them. And yet, even with the basic things He was saying at the beginning of the chapter, they were out of their grasp. And we understand that it's the infinite explaining Himself to the finite. That really, if we think of it, that if God tried to give us everything about Himself at once, that our brains would probably explode, because there's so much of a fullness for Him to give unto us. I remember someone describing that there was a friend of ours that had passed away, and we were wondering, well, what they were doing in heaven, and the one person commented that they figured that probably they're just standing there in awe, and they'll probably be doing that for probably the next 10 years of our time before they finally kind of take in a breath and then can start to look around. But we see that God is great. God is beyond our understanding. But that is not something that we give up on trying to find Him. It's a blessing that we can search and find Him more. We see in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 25 that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And we understand that even there is no foolishness with God, but even if there was, it would be wiser than all the wisdom of the world. And we see that with this, just the kind of the basic first principles of Himself He's giving that they're having a hard time understanding. So He gives it to them to something very plain, something that they can grasp, something that is easy, someone that everyone has seen. And He speaks to Himself of Himself that He is the door. And we understand what a door is. It's something we go through every day, something we pass through on the way here. It's an entranceway. That it's and you can think of it in a building. There might be many different possible ways to get in, but it's certainly easiest to go through the door. I remember I lived in an apartment building in BC, and it was one of those ones where you had the door to your apartment, and then they had the door to the building. And the door to the building always had the closure on it. So you had to make sure you had your keys with you when you stepped outside to take out the trash or get the mail. Otherwise, you'd be locked out. And that happened to me a couple times. And fortunately, my apartment was kind of close to the ground floor, so I could go around and climb over the balcony railing and push the window open and fall out on my bed and then get inside. But of course, that's not the easiest way to get in. That's not the desirable way. And of course, you always were fearful that someone would walk by and you'd have to try to explain while you're breaking into your own place. And so we realize that the door is the way in. It allows in and it keeps those people that are in safe, and it keeps those that are not wanted out. And we see he refers himself specifically as the door of the sheep. That we think of the sheepfolds of those days, and I think even in other places in the world, I think of some of the pictures I've seen of Ireland where they keep sheep as well, it might be quite similar. But the sheepfold was basically a corral, usually made of rocks and stones, and it was high enough to keep the sheep from being able to jump over top. And there was an opening at the front, and the doorway was generally open. And we think, well, why wouldn't they put a gate there, a door to keep things in, keep things out? But the problem was, if you just put a door there and you relied upon that door, that a wild animal potentially could dig itself under the door, or a robber could jump over the top and steal a sheep. And so what they did instead of that is that the shepherd himself would be the door. That as he would gather in the sheep for the night, that he would stay with them. He would lie down in the doorway. And so any beast that was wandering through would have to come through him if they wanted to attack one of the sheep. And he'd be close enough to the sheep. If he heard a commotion of someone scrambling over the wall trying to get a sheep, he'd hear it right away and be able to defend them. And so he's referring him to himself in this way and trying to get our understanding of who he is. And we understand that there is only one entrance into the fold, and that Jesus Christ is that entrance, and we must come to him by faith. But we ask ourselves, if he is the door, then what is he the door to? What lies on the other side? What do we find as we pass through him? And we see what he says there in verse number 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so we see there's a great many things involved as we think of what he is speaking of. We understand that if we enter in by faith, we shall be saved. There is deliverance. It's a picture that we have that when we're sinners, when before we have come to Christ, we're essentially alone in this world. That we're left to our own devices. We're struggling to find purpose, struggling to find hope. There's so many dangers around, and we don't know what will become of us. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That there's no purpose, there's no guidance, there's no safety or security to our lives, there's no hope. And we think of it that a sheep wandering out by itself alone, it cannot defend itself. It doesn't have any defenses. It's not like a porcupine that has quills or a skunk that can spray. It's left defenseless. It needs someone to protect them. But you can think of a sheep that comes, that's been running scared for much times, that he comes to the sheepfold, and that he comes to the doorway and to the shepherd, and the shepherd allows him in. They're delivered, that they're saved. There's not that fear anymore, that they think, well, maybe something's going to happen to me. I just don't know what to do. They're always in a conscious state, constant state of anxiety, but instead that they're saved. And that's what we understand with the Lord Jesus Christ, that when we trust in him, that our eternal destiny is settled, that we are delivered from the wrath to come, that we realize that there is that salvation that cannot be rescinded, we cannot be stolen out of the sheepfold. He speaks that later on, that no man can pluck us out of his hand, and that his Father is greater than I can, no one can pluck us out of the Father's hand either. And so we see that we have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we think as well, as we come into this fold, as we're allowed in, as we come to the door, come to Jesus Christ by faith, we have many other things as well. First of all, we understand that we have a sense of belonging, that we're there, we're safe, and that we're welcomed in. It speaks in Ephesians 1 verse 6 of how we are accepted in the Beloved, that when we come through Christ, that there is that acceptance, that we're part of the family of God, that we've been adopted as His children. The Lord says that whosoever shall come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. That it isn't something where anyone that comes to Him in faith and repentance, that He'll say, no, you don't belong. And we realize that with all of us, that we don't come based on our merits, we come based on His grace. And we're accepted by God, that He allows us in. And we think of it as well, that when we become part of the family with God, that we instantly have a family around us of brothers and sisters in Christ, that all of us, we look at it and we say, well, we have no right to be in this fold ourselves. We have no right to salvation. It's all of His grace that we've all been delivered. And so we become part of the family, and we have fellowship together, that we, no matter what our past was, we have something in common, that we realize that we were facing destruction, each of us, for our sin, and yet God has redeemed us. God has delivered us from that, and so now we can be safe. But then we also see as well that passing through the door, being part of the sheepfold, we have protection, that we're under the hand of God, that you think of that when we're in the sheepfold, that there is safety there. And we see also, as it says, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And in many ways, we're in this world where before we were saved, and we're struggling and trying to find our way, and we find that rest, that protection, that refuge in the Lord, that only He can give. But then it says that we should go in and out, that it's the thought that we can go into the world now and we don't have to be afraid anymore, that His protection is with us. He is the shepherd watching over us, and there is that sense that we should go in and out. We don't have to be afraid anymore. If God be for us, who can be against us? We don't need to fear what man can do unto us. It says in 1 Peter 1 verse 5 that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That He keeps us, that we do not need to be afraid, that He leads us out in the world, and it's different than it was before because He is with us. His Spirit goes with us. And we know that it isn't something that we're going to be separated from the shepherd anymore. That He is going to stay right there beside us. We see that in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 38. The Apostle Paul writes, Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That we understand that we are with Him forever, that we cannot be separated from Him, that He keeps us in the palm of His hand, and that we have that protection with Him. Something that we can rejoice in. It says in Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. That we can have that confident assurance that we don't need to be afraid, that we can step into this earth once again as children of God and know that His hand of protection is upon us. We see also His provision, and it says we shall go in and out and find pasture. We think of that in Psalm 23 of how it says that He brings us to green pastures, leads us beside still waters. It says later on in that psalm as well that He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. That even though, as it says, a host could be encamped about us, we don't need to fear anything. That He's not only protecting us, but He's providing us food. He's providing for us, even in the midst of that difficulty. And so we see that. We understand His protection, His provision. And we see His satisfaction that He gives. And that's what we understand, that we are can be truly satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He gives us all that we need, that our needs are met, that as we looked in the description of Him being the bread of life, that when we know that when we partake of Him, we shall be fully satisfied. And then we think also as well of how because of all this, because we're protected, because we're provided for, because we're satisfied, we can have rest. And that's what the Lord gives us, that before we entered the fold, that life was full of anxiety. There was nothing certain. There was a fear of the future, fear for eternity, because we knew it wasn't settled. Fear for all the many things that happen in this world. But once we're one of God's children, once you're in the fold, we can have that rest. And He speaks of that we're to desire to enter into His rest that He wants to give us. He calls out, He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That He has that for us, that He wants to do that. We read this morning in Psalm chapter 4, "I shall lay me down to rest and sleep, for Thou only makest me to dwell in safety." That's the thing, that if we know the Lord, if we know that He's in control, that He's looking over us, that His hand is upon us, then we don't have to stay up late at night. We don't have to suffer from insomnia. We can just rest and sleep peacefully because He's in control. He's looking after us. And so we see that He gives us rest, and we see as well, verse 10 of John 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." And that's the thought, that He doesn't give us just the bare bones. He just doesn't give us just the minimum of what we require. He gives us exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. He wants to give us this life that is an abundant life, that it's not just about surviving this world, but being a conqueror in this world not just making it through life, but rejoicing through trials and tribulations and bringing honor and glory to Him through that. And we realize with all these things that this is what God is to us, what Jesus Christ will be to us. He is the gateway, the entrance way to all of these things, that we receive them when we come to Him in faith. It says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." That all we need is in Him. In Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Him. That He gives us all that we need. And we understand that it comes through faith and trust in Him. That when we trust in Him, when we pass from death unto life, as we come to Him for salvation, that all these things are in store for us as His people. But we recognize to get these things that, as we said, that there is only one entrance into the fold, that He is the door, that any other way to come through will not be accepted, that we must come through Him and Him alone. It says in Acts chapter 4, in verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That it is the name of Jesus and no other name on this earth. can be substituted for him, that we must trust in him and him alone. There is one mediator, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, as it speaks of in 1 Timothy 2. And so it is that thought that all this awaits for anyone who is willing to come, but they must come through the door. They must come to Christ through repentance and faith. And it is a very sad thing that this door is there, that it's not that Jesus is barring the way, trying to prevent people from coming in. He's the one that wants to give them life, wants to welcome them into his fold. But it's sad that so many don't come to the door, that they never know the blessings and joys that they could have in this life, that they struggle alone, they're out in the wilderness trying to survive, being taken captive by the devil, being devoured by him, suffering the consequences of bad decisions, and they spend a life spiritually alone, and they spend an eternity spiritually alone because they don't trust in Christ as Savior. That they're left to themselves. They haven't come to the door, and it is a sad thing to see that. And it's also sad that there's so many that perhaps have a grasp of what lies beyond the door. These things of protection, provision, salvation, satisfaction, and rest. These things that they desire, these things that they would want, but they try to gain those blessings without coming through the door. They try to find another way in. Maybe they may try to establish their own righteousness. They think, well, I should be good enough to get in on my own. That they don't want to accept that they're a sinner. They want to try to obtain deliverance through their good works rather than through grace alone. And they never gain that assurance of their salvation. They're always struggling. They never gain rest because they're afraid, well, if I don't keep this up, then I might not make it. Is it going to be enough? I'm not sure. And of course, we understand that no amount of good works is enough for our salvation. It must be coming through the door, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's sad that some refuse to go through the door, that might spend their life struggling to find what they can only find in Christ alone. And it'll be sad that they will find out only too late that they are not part of the fold. We see this in Matthew chapter 7, where he speaks a warning. Jesus says, Matthew 7 verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." These ones that he would say to them, we find the fact that they did all these other things, but they never knew him as their Savior. They never went through the door. They went through another way. They thought they'd made it in, and they found out that they had not. And it is a sad thing to understand and to grasp the gravity of that. I think it is sad as well that as believers, sometimes when we get saved, we enter into the fold, but we get inside, we get the deliverance from sin, we get the salvation, deliverance from judgment, but yet we're satisfied with just kind of getting in the door, and we don't realize that there's all these other blessings that he wants to give us, that we want to stay in the fold, but he wants to take us out. He wants us to have a deeper life. He wants us to have an abundance where we can go forth, we can enjoy his provision, we can be satisfied, we can rest in him, that we can perhaps entrust our eternal destiny with him, but then we still feel we have to hold on to all these other anxieties through the day, that we need to give it all to him, that we realize that all these things can come to us, all these things, it's part of our inheritance as God's people. And so as we've done that, if we've come to Christ as Savior, if we realize he is the door, we want to understand as a believer all that he wants to give us, all that's there for us to enjoy because we've passed through the door. And may the Lord help us that we wouldn't miss out on even one of his blessings, that we would enjoy his fullness that we would have this abundant life. And we recognize that He is the great I Am. He has always been this door. He always will be this door, this one way of salvation, this one way of that gives us not only deliverance, but also protection, provision, and rest, and satisfaction, and abundance in our lives. And so may we come unto Him, and may we enjoy all that He wants to give us, and all that is coming to us because of our faith in Christ, that we may not miss out in any of our blessings that He wants to bestow upon us as His children. Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, we just thank You once again for sending Your Son to die for us, Lord. We know that there was no other way of salvation but for You to send Your Son, Lord. We are so thankful You loved us so much that You're willing to do that. Lord, we thank You for just the abundance of blessings You want to share with us, Lord, adopting us as Your children, giving us an inheritance, allowing us to be joint heirs with Christ. We just pray, Lord, You would help us not to miss out on Your blessings on this earth, Lord, that we would enjoy Your presence each day, that we would have rest in You and all that You have done, and have joy in our lives, Lord, and abundance that You want to desire, and You want and desire to give us, Lord. Just pray You would bless us now, Lord, as we depart. Help us to live in the light of Your Word and to live in such a way that we would draw others to You as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand once more, and we'll turn to number 212 and sing "O Happy Day," hymn 212. Thank you.